Maybe not.
This tape will become part of the Scandinavian Immigrant Experience Collection at Pacific Lutheran University. The date today is October 15, 1982. The interview is taking place at the home of John Ide's daughter, Ruth, and is being conducted by Inger Carr. What is your full name?
Ole Johannes Eide.
Eide? Is that the way you say it in Norwegian? Here they say it Ide.
Ide.
Yeah.
E-I-D-E. Eide. Say it for Norse.
For Norse, yeah. When? Where were you born?
In 1900, 20th of April, 1900.
1900, oh, that makes you, how old?
Just a kid, I'm 83, 2 years old.
Where were you born?
Bretthammer, Sørstokke, Kopervik.
Norway.
Norway.
Why do you say all those places?
Bretthammer was the place we Jay was born. It's in my grandfather's place, grandfather's home place. And I say it now especially because on the Bretthammer, han min hanedu no, you know, my best father on the Bretthammer hanedu, men hans son to hans, you know, han eier hjemmeplassen der på, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Og min mor, vi hadde a butikk store on that place at the country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had a
store,
a mm-hmm. boutique.
Mm-hmm.
So
why did you say those other places?
I will tell you why.
Okay.
Because Odne Bratamar now is son han har en stort big job, if I should use it in English,
mm-hmm.
in the, from the oil field. From the North Sea,
mm-hmm.
and he is the boss over the whole, over all of it, and he, well, it's jobs are run into millions of dollars.
What does he do? Fishing?
Huh?
Oil? Is it oil?
Oil, yes, oil from the North Sea.
I see.
He takes right in through in under in the ocean. You know, and from Karma, you know, or,
mm-hmm.
and there will be, you know, they will read out about it in the papers to come, you know,
mm-hmm.
and there will be even after the works is finished, you know, it still will be. Probably some thousands of people working there on that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So in Norway is a good. And they are even going to book us in to build their own church.
Oh, really?
In it's that place.
It's going to be a real town now, big town now.
Sure.
Huh?
And we can sit in my home place in Norway and look right in there, you know. And Stavanger will be it's one of the places where you are making all kinds of things will go into that project. But you will read about it in the papers to come, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Where is it, far north from Stavanger?
Oh, it's Mellomhaugesund from Stavanger. It's på Karmøy, it goes underneath pumps into Carmi from the North Sea.
Uh-huh.
And the Carmi is the islands I'm born and raised on.
Oh.
And that's the, well, the airport for Haugesund is at Carmi too.
Mm-hmm.
And there is Kopravik, Skudsnes, Okrahamn. You know, there's a lot of people living on the Carmi, you know. And there is oil roads that goes around the whole island, you know. And there, and it's one thing you cannot even buy a glass of beer on that place, you know. There is, you know.
But
when Ruth and I was over in Norway, you know, we were Charlie, he is just kidding about. Ruth said there is no salons here or anything. You know, I said I don't think you'll find any either, you know, because there isn't too many policemen either, because there isn't too many drinks, you know, drunken drivers or
mm-hmm.
things like that, because they get such a fine if they would ever catch them drunk driving.
Yeah.
There's such a fine, so they,
you know,
so there's no, it stays off the road, there's no drunk drivers.
That's good.
There's no drunk people in fact. We did not see any on that. So we did see one, and I didn't see any when we were back in Norway for over. My men was drunk, so we saw.
It wasn't like that when you lived there, though, was it?
Well, they...
Huh?
No, they...
What did your father do?
My father, he lived in America, but my mother took care of the business in Norway by visiting and the rest of it, you know. And Elsa, who also was good till she took good water from in best of far, and han var ute och fiska, come right forbi there, you know. Then, lived på en god plats som min bästa far. Jag kunde kvila sig när han hade varit ute på sjön.
But, no, your father, well, tell me his name, your father.
Ole Mandius Ada.
Ada. And your mother's name? What was her name?
Gertrude Brettamer. But her name was Ada too, you know. But that, she was born Brettamer.
She was born Brettamer. So she was born right there, too.
She was born right there, yes.
Was your father born there, too?
No, he was born for Ada.
Oh, where was that from Brettamer? Very far?
The same island.
Uh-huh.
A few miles from there.
Uh-huh. Now, was your father a fisherman?
No.
What was he? What was he?
Citizen of the United States, working on the smelter, working in the United States all his life on all kinds of jobs.
He was the United States?
Yes.
When? Do you know?
Before 1900, he had his citizen papers. I mean, in the United States before I was born. That's how I became a citizen, natural citizen of the United States. I didn't have to take any citizen papers. Because I was naturalized citizen, you know.
Even if you were born in Norway, huh?
That's right.
Now, your father went over here before he was married or after he was married?
Before and after.
Before and after?
Before he went, he was over here, then he went home and married my mother.
Uh-huh.
And took my mother along to the United States. We have a picture of him
over
here. Oh. Over here, you know.
Uh-huh.
And my mother, she was kind of sickly.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctors told my dad if he wanted her to live, take her back where she came from. I guess he was kind of lonesome too, you know, my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Norway, you know. Mm-hmm.
Where did they live in America?
Illinois.
Oh.
My dad always used to say that the water was poor around there, you know.
Oh, really?
And he said he wished he had known about Montana in his young days, you know, because when he came to Montana in his later part of life, then he came to Anacanda, Montana at that time, and Butte and Great Falls and the those cities,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. And was your mother along then?
No, she was home in North Carolina. Took care of the rest of her family. Have you had?
How many?
We had three boys and four boys and one girl.
Tell me their names and what they did.
All four of us boys was over in the United States at one time, but now we are only two of us here, Carl Leidy in Bremerton. And
what does he do? What did he do?
Dry cleaning shop. He was had his own dry cleaning shop even in Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and then he had his own dry cleaning shop in Bremerton. So that was his job. And he was very married to a Swedish girl from Småland.
How about the other two? What were their names?
Thomas Magnus. Han was den yngste av familien. And it was pretty, in 1931 you couldn't even buy a job, you know, in
mm-hmm.
here in the United States Hall. So at that time my father, he died. My father died. And
at home, in Norway?
No, he died, he died in Norway. He happened to be back there then. So he died. And then I asked Tom, my brother, if he would go back and take care of mother.
Mm-hmm. You were here then already?
I was here already. I was married and had children, mm-hmm. five children. So Tom went back there to take care of mother at that time. You know, when my mother lived, she was 80 years old, as far as I know.
So he stayed on the home place then?
So he stayed on the home place. Took nice care of his home place.
Was it a farm?
The little ranch.
Uh-huh.
But it was right down to the ocean, you know, right down to the fjord.
Did he fish too then, or did he?
Oh yeah, he did some fishing.
Mm-hmm. And didn't you say he had one more brother too?
Adolf, he was the oldest one.
Yeah, what did he do?
He worked in Anacanda, Montana too, and in Butte, Great Falls, and different places.
In the mines?
He worked in the mines. He didn't work in the mines, I don't think, but he worked, you know, he was working on, took any kind of a job, you know, he was one of those that he took any kind of a job, sometimes just driving with a truck, red truck, a grocery truck, you know, different things like that, you know. So, I came to him. And I came here to the United States. He sent me money for ticket, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's hear about your sisters first before we talk about you. How, your sisters, you said you had two sisters too?
One sister.
One?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Amanda.
Did she stay in Norway?
Yeah, Amanda Kvalovo. She's married to Kvalovo, big oil line comes in from the North Sea, right there to Carmel.
I see.
That's where he was, but where he was, he was born.
Mm-hmm.
So he worked a lot, took any kind of a job. He didn't have to go to the United States. He was a big, strong
mm-hmm.
and he could make a living in Norway anytime.
Mm-hmm.
So he made it fine.
Do you remember your grandparents?
My grandparents was Turus Idy, Turus Brattamar, you know.
Uh-huh.
And
that's your grandfather.
Grandfather.
And his wife?
Marta Pratamer, you know, put Pratamer, you know.
Oh.
She came from Okra, from the west part of the island of the Carmel.
Mm-hmm. What did your grandfather do?
Little fishing and, you know, kind of poor, you know. They never needed anything to eat. They went down to the ocean and had some tainer or some, got some fish, and then they had just a little. The Brathammer was a very rocky place, you know, but it had some little places where they raised potatoes and a little grain for a couple of cows and things like that, you know, so that's the way they lived. And then we all, my mother, she always used their horse when she went to town to get groceries in the grocery store. We get all our bread, all the groceries we get from Copperwick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she used to be driving, you know, the horse and buggy to go and get something for the ticket for the store,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I used to go along with it, so I was acquainted everywhere around there.
You helped her then, huh?
I sure did.
So you helped her in the store? Is that what you did?
A little bit.
Uh-huh.
I helped her to eat a little extra candy.
Now, was that your mother's father that you talked about, or was that your
father's?
That was
my mother's father.
How about your father's father?
Well, my father's father, I never saw him. He died before.
What was his
he
name?
He died before Turbo.
Tormod, Heidi?
Heidi.
Uh-huh. What was he? Did he live on a small farm too?
That's right.
Uh-huh. Fisherman too? Did he fish too?
Not very much, I don't think. Probably some. He died in the younger days, though, when they were young.
Mm-hmm.
So his children went to America, you know, all of them.
Mm-hmm. And your grandmother, what was her name?
Margareta. Margaret.
You don't know her maiden name, though? What she was before she was married?
No, I don't know. I don't remember what her name was. Mm. I know where she came from before she was married.
Do you, did you have a school right there on the island, or did you have to?
Oh, yeah. That school right there.
So you didn't have to go very far to school?
No, we had school. Good Christian school, too.
What was it?
Sure. So we wasn't much taught about. We were graded for what we learned, even on Bible history and things like that. We were graded for it right in our school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we had a good Christian school teacher. You know.
Oh. How about your church? Was it there on the island too?
Sure, at the Copperwick.
And did your parents go all the time to church? Were they?
No, they did not do it. They did after came a real mighty revival over. There's always revivals around there on that island, you know. So God was just saving people, even people to us. Heavy drinking people, he gets saved, you know.
Were there traveling evangelists that came in?
Yeah, lots of traveling evangelists that came there all the time by them.
Did they come into the church, or did you have a bed?
They came to churches. They had sometimes in church, sometimes in Bedehuser, in the mission house.
You had a Bedehuser there?
Oh, sure, in Copperwick too. It's probably for Salvation Army to border, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any stories from your childhood when you were a young boy in Norway?
Yes, but where should I begin? Where should I start?
Anything you could think of.
Oh.
You want to tell me? Still when you were a young boy. And we'll talk about stories here later.
One thing they didn't have in Norway when I was young was automobiles. They didn't have any automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when the first automobiles came to Carmina. I remember that.
Do you?
It was a doctor that owned it. It was a Ford, one of those who had a crank by hand, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that Ford was the first one that went around the island, around the whole island, you know. Started to Coppery, and then went Skudesnes and Okra, and to Bargat to Coppery again.
You know. The doctor did?
The automobile. The doctor did sometimes too. He was called in different places around mm-hmm. there. But there was other doctors too, you know, beside.
Mm.
But he was one of the doctors. But a lot of people have been living on that island of Carmary. There's three pretty good-sized towns on that Copperick, it's Skudesnes, Okrahavna. There's a lot of people living on that island of Carmary.
Were you close to Copperick?
Yes, but you can walk there in about half an hour to Copperick. Now we are in an automobile now. My brother, he has an automobile. My brother's son lives there and he has an automobile. You know, there's automobiles now, you know, so
he
can go in about 10 minutes from. That's why they love to work, to live out there, you know, where I came from. Like I'm Brattamar, there's almost like a little city there right now, you know. There's nice houses around there,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It's really grown, hasn't it?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And Odne Brattamar, my uncle, he got water into the. He was the one who was really. He got water from one of the lakes up in the hills, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we have hot and cool water.
Oh, he did.
There
that.
It's just like in town, mm-hmm. you know.
When did he do that then? Not when you were still home.
Yeah, it was while I was still in America in my young days.
Here in America, but not in Norway. Not when you were still in Norway.
No, we had to go to the well and mm-hmm. draw water.
Did you have a pump?
Well,
a pump.
We didn't have so much training, so much. We didn't even have a pump. Water all over.
Do you remember Christmas time?
Yes.
What was special about Christmas?
That was really richtig høytid, Christmas in Norway. You know, even på bedehuset. Det var så richtig juletrefest, de kalte det, Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a Christmas tree decorated in the middle of the whole floor in the mission house. And we started to hold each other's hands. The first circle around the Christmas tree, held each other's hands and walked around and sang Christmas songs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when there's too many in one circle, then we made another circle around a couple circles, one on the outside of the other one. And singing Christmas songs and walking around. And then after a while, you know, when there gets too many in second circle, then the boys, they liked it, but then they took a girl and walked arm in arm, you know, walked around Christmas tree and sang Christmas songs. You know, but it isn't like that now anymore. You know, it's different now. More Americanized everything, you know.
Yeah, but I want to know what it was like when you were there.
Yeah, that's the way it was when I got there.
Did you have a church Christmas Day in your church?
Oh, all this.
Mm-hmm.
All this. My, every Sunday there couldn't be any clothes, there couldn't be any clothes on the clothes lines on Sunday or anything like that, because there was no work on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Where I came from.
That's right. Not at Christmas either.
Oh, no. And Christmas was first and second, 2 days for... we had Thursday and Friday.
Christmas Eve.
And then Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And then 2 days for Christmas. 5 days really for Christmas. Mm-hmm. All the holidays for Christmas. So that was... No, Eric and Otto under that beautiful Velsigna and Carmen, you know. And Carmen is a Velsigna, have her good signals.
Uh-huh.
And now on the Bratamar, you know, Hans' son is really the leader, the boss of all that now. So I could go back there, you know.
Yeah.
And if I was young, if I wanted to work, could even have a job.
A job, yes.
Be.
What did you have to eat Christmas Eve?
Well, so many have lutefisk, things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that. You know, there's so many different kinds of fish. So we sometimes had fish 6 times a week.
Oh.
And meat maybe on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
But with a different kind of fish, fried and fish balls, and you know, there was so many different kinds. And people seemingly was more healthy there too, you mm-hmm. know, than mm-hmm. husband with sicknesses.
That's right, fish is good for you.
Sure is, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I still like it.
Mm-hmm. So you had fish Christmas Eve?
No, not now.
No, there in Norway.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else did you have?
Well, my mama took care of us. You know, my mother's name was Gertrude, and they used to call me Johannes Gertrude, because my father, he used to be in the United States most of his life.
Mm-hmm.
He just came home once in a while, you know. Stayed home sometimes a year, and he got out the money, they took another trip to the United States. He kept on like that all his life, you know. And we bought a nice little ranch close to the other place where we used to live,
mm-hmm.
for Midstocker. It's so the southern part of Midstocker. There's Surstocker, Nordstocker, or Midstocker, you know. There's trees. Some in the Kalladok, the Stokkestranden, you know, there. That's the east side of the Karmøy, you know. So, and the fjord was right out in the front of us where all the boats goes through. You could see the fishing herring, you know. I saw many times the boats was laying out in the fjord, so the whales was just rolling around out in the front there. You know, you could see it right from our house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a good home. But I didn't really know how it was about working.
You didn't?
Before I got to the United States.
And you didn't work after you got through school in Norway? You didn't work after you got through school in Norway?
So you take in a fishing trip once in a while, you know, had a little spending money. But I didn't really have any study job except I was home,
uh-huh.
helping my mother at the little place, you know.
Mm-hmm. With the farm?
The kind of color, so it's just a little ranch.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of cows and a horse and sheep, you know.
Didn't you say she had a store too?
A store too, yeah. But we had a girl work. Was always too, you know.
What did she sell in the store?
Huh?
What did she sell in the store?
It's just a small grocery store that's about the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a small grocery store. And we used to take the mail, so the maid took the mail for from town and out there to the people to live out around there, you know, you get their mail. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. I think, you know. And Rutua. Well, yes. But you will know about Brattamar then. You read about it in the papers, you know, about Odna Brattamar. Remember that name, Odna Brattamar?
Okay.
He is the son of grandson of Turus Brattamar.
Now, when did you decide to come to America?
Well, I tried to make a living. I didn't want to come to America, really, in the first place.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't want to quit. But after my father died, well, even before my father died, you couldn't hardly, during the war, you know, during the war in 1914, 15 and 16, at that time, there wasn't many jobs in Norway that cheap. It was just like America, you know. Mm-hmm. But after the war, things was a real depression back there too, you know. So that's the time, and I had more responsibility to take, help my parents. Things like that, so I was glad when my brother, oldest brother, sent me a ticket to come over to the United States. He sent the ticket for me.
Oh, he wanted you to come?
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't want to come?
Well, I had a pretty good time back in Norway at that time, you know.
You did?
In my young days, you know. At the Bible school a little bit.
Oh.
And I had used to.
Where was the Bible school?
Stein.
How long did you do that?
Oh, mostly kind of more of a summer, of course.
You lived there in Stavanger then?
Huh?
You lived in Stavanger then when you were going
to
school?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a good time.
What else did you do besides Bible school?
Well, most of the time we just stayed home and had on the ranch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And to cover it on Saturday evening, you know, but home.
And a lot of young people in Copperbeck?
Oh yeah, a lot of young people.
What did you do, your dances and stuff, or did you?
Oh yes, I did that too.
Uh-huh. Was that before you were saved? Were you saved?
Okay. I didn't do any dancing after, I'll tell you that. Anybody that danced and carried around, they didn't. They never took. They didn't believe in any Christianity like that there back in Norway.
Were you saved in Norway?
Yeah, I was saved when I was 17 years old.
Tell me about that.
Well,
before you went to Bible school, right?
Well, yeah, oh sure.
Uh-huh.
No, that was before I went to Bible school. New Year's night, 1918. We went to Copperwick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Really went there for a dance. That's what really I was intending to do. And in the evening, you know, there had been such a revivals around there, so most of the girls was already saved, you know. So those boys, we walked around like lost sheep, you know. So I remember so well about the night, like I said, in New Year's night, 1918,
uh-huh.
You know.
We went to dance.
Went to a dance, and then from the dance we went home to some only boys, but I would say 12, 14 boys, you know. We kind of divided up in two gangs, and I was kind of leading the one gang and another boy the other gang, you know. And there was a big fellow Dad had been in the United States for years, you know, you couldn't think he was scared of anything, you know. But that night, when we came to the first place throughout the country, you know, from Calgary, and one of the boys went over to that boy, to his home, then the Spirit of God worked so mightily, you know, that we said if there was, we had been a meeting in the mission house tonight, we would all go and give our hearts to the Lord, you know.
It just came down on you like that?
Yeah.
You hadn't been to a meeting or anything?
No, it came from a dance. And so one went home there and one other one, you know, kept on. At last, was just three of us left.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one of the fellows had been in the United States, you know, he couldn't think he was afraid of anything. But he was scared to walk home by himself, you know. So we followed him about halfway home. And then asked if he could walk home by himself, well, he said he would try. So that's the way it was, you know. God was just forcing on people back there. They used to call it Idaho and Heligo, your Carmen, you know.
Mm.
It's a very no thing, you know, economic wonder to me, you know, about it's no wonder to me about that the voters have kept the whiskey out of cannot even buy any drinks or things like that, you know. And even in house, and it was for a while, but now they can, there is a place you can buy whiskey in house for now, you know.
So you accepted the Lord right there, outside like that?
Yeah, right there, sitting down on the rock wall, 12 o'clock midnight.
By yourself?
Myself and another neighbor boy.
Oh.
And
was he saved too?
He got saved.
Right then? Same time?
They bought, you know, for Eldermore, bought for us, you know. So. And
oh, your parents have been praying for you?
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
So then that's when you were 17. So then did you go to Bible school after that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, I didn't go to Bible school very long. Just in the summertime,
mm-hmm.
for a while.
And then when you came?
In the wintertime, sometimes I used to go around and sing with an evangelist, you know.
Oh, did you?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Just to be in there where the big plant is now built, you know, or it's cost millions of dollars, you know, or they are building it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Just I was in there, around there, you know, singing. So no, if you don't want to hear, you are religious inclined, you know, when I came to Anacanda, Montana, everybody was just, there's no Sundays there, you work on Sunday, Monday, and every week.
Oh, really?
Sure.
So when did you come? When did you come over here?
1923.
What month did you sail?
Huh?
What month? Do you remember?
It was before Easter.
March?
April.
1923?
Mm-hmm.
How old were you then?
I was 22 years old, so I was in 1900.
So, your brother sent for you, right?
Uh-huh.
Tell me about the trip over. Well, how did your mother was still living, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how did she feel about you coming over here?
Oh, yeah, she was glad for me to get over here.
She was?
Because my sister then stayed with her home there, you know. Her husband stayed with her home. But they didn't get the home place, though. my youngest brother get the home place.
Mm-hmm. So how was the trip over here?
And we came on one of the big Norwegian American liners.
Oh, which know. One? Do you know?
I think it was Bergensbjerg.
Uh-huh. Was it a pretty nice trip?
Yes, we had a storm for about, probably for about 24 hours. But it took us about 6-7 days for the cross to mm-hmm. over from Norway to the United States at that time.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do on the boat?
Eating and I'll tell you about one thing, though, about when we come over.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know I was a citizen of the United States at that time.
Uh-huh.
So we took out first paper, and our paper, when we came to the United States, I took out my first paper. But still, I didn't have to go through Ellis Island or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
Because I came second class, you know. I had a third class ticket, but the third class was filled up when we, from Norway, that I had a first class on the top deck of the boat, and I was eating on the second class, you know.
How come? Why weren't you eating on the first class if you were up there in the first class?
Well, I had a third class ticket. So I was really lucky to be eating on second.
Right.
Second class.
Mm-hmm.
But because I didn't, if I had known then that I was already a citizen, you know, it would, but I found it out after I got to back up to Montana that I was a citizen already, you know. Because I was going to draw out my first papers and went out to officers from the Norwegian government, he said, "You don't need any first papers or second papers." He says, "You are a citizen already," because my dad was a citizen before I was born. So I became a natural mm-hmm. citizen,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
just born in foreign countries.
Did you come by yourself?
I came with my brother's wife's sister and her husband.
Oh.
They took me right down to Canada, Montana.
So they were coming from Norway too, or had...
They came from Norway. They went just forth and back, more or less, like that. Sometimes stayed for a little while in Norway. Bought some properties, maybe. They always made money on exchange, on their money, things like that.
What was their names?
Kolstad.
What? Kolstad?
Yeah, Kolstad was their name. John and Hilda Kolstad. That was just a little place on for Carmen, you know. So they,
mm-hmm.
it was their home place.
Did you take the train then from New York to?
I did.
To Anaconda?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Did you live with your brother then when you got there?
Uh-huh. I lived with my brother and boarded with my sister. But with her, his wife's sister right across the street.
Oh, she cooked for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I... The men in Munganoska were there in those days.
Was it? All Norwegians?
Quite a few.
Even at work, were there a lot of Norwegians?
Oh, yes.
So you didn't learn the language?
Huh?
You didn't learn the language there then?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Part of it. But I had a good wife. She was my best teacher, you know. But I was always asking about everything, so many questions, many times. That I asked, so I had the American language came very easy to me, you know. I would never be able to write like I'm doing that's it. If it wasn't for my first wife, you know, she was.
Did you meet her in Anaconda?
Oh, I sure did.
What was her name?
Mary Eastman. Mary Eastman was her name.
Was she Norwegian?
Yes, she was a born of Swedish parents, Swedish Finn parents.
Oh.
That's the mama of this girl that's sitting right there. Wonderful lady.
Where did you meet her?
Right in Anaconda.
I know, but where?
I met them at Salvation Army Hall.
Oh, so you started to go to Salvation Army Hall right away?
Well, we used to go there part of the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't meetings in the Norwegian Lutheran Church very often, you know, as I said.
Uh-huh. So you went there?
I went to Salvation Army. So I had seen Mary Eastman, you know. When the Lord spoke to me while I was back in Norway.
Oh, really?
About the girl. And he said, that this girl is not your girl, your wife. I cannot tell you. He said, your lady. He said, Mr. Mary Eastman is your wife. Why you're your girl. And I thought to myself, I listened to that voice. I thought, this must be from the devil. I said, because I never will get back to you. United States, and in the case I should get back, I'm not going to go up to Montana, I'm going to stay back east. You know, there's good service, good meetings,
mm-hmm.
You know. And I came to Brooklyn, and I got a job, first for a little small contractor that was working on sidewalks, patching up sidewalks.
Oh, you stayed in New York for a while?
Yeah, for about a month.
Oh, well, the other people went on to Montana, or did they stay there too?
Well, this is the second time that I had been back in Norway for a trip when I came back. This is the second time when I came back.
Oh.
I went back.
When was that then? When did you go back?
In 1926, I went back to Norway.
Just 3 years after you came over here?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I,
why did you go back with your mother?
Well,
so you went back to see her?
But her mother, I wrote letters to her, and her mother picked them up and just said, the girl didn't get hold of it. Get a pull up the letters.
Oh.
So she taught it last that I had forgotten her. It wasn't really her fault. That the things turned out because it was God's will for me to get to be a citizen of the United States and live in America.
Mm-hmm.
I can see through it now, but I couldn't see through it then.
Right. Yeah.
So
then you came back here.
Oh yeah, I've been over there 3-4 times.
Was your mother still living that first time you went back?
Oh, yeah.
And then you
my
came back?
My mother died in 1960-something.
Mm. Okay, then you stopped in Brooklyn, and you worked there for a month, you said?
Yeah.
Doing what?
I started to work for a contractor, and then right in the middle of the summer it was hot,
mm-hmm.
and people were dying of sunstroke around there, you know, it was so hot and I had to work hard, and I could never, it's the only man I never could make it, so it never made a showing for us as contractors I worked.
You never what?
I never couldn't make a showing for him. I could not satisfy him.
Oh.
You know, so I worked for him for about five weeks. And one Saturday I said to him, well, I'm going to quit and go up to Montana. He said, that's good.
Oh.
You know. And you see, and then I thought to myself, what about this Mary Eastman business? A little know, so it always spoke to me about Mary's. So when I came to the United States at that time, you know, when I came from Montana at that time, then it didn't take me very long before I got acquainted with Mary Eastman, and we got married.
You got married there in Anaconda then?
That's right.
Did you have a big wedding?
No, I read in the pastor's office, really. We didn't have any wedding.
Oh. You're at
and she was satisfied, anyhow. She was happy. She had been working for 10 years in one office, my wife. She was kind of tired of being working in the house. She was a wonderful lady, wonderful girl.
So then did you get a house?
Rented a house.
You had a house?
For 1 year. We rented a house for 1 year and then we bought a house. So we lived in that house. So we bought for about just a small four-room house, really, when we bought it. And then my son, Charlie, he built an upstairs on it. You know, and he got old enough, he came up from the Korean War. And he built an upstairs on it.
What were you doing in Anaconda all this time?
Working on a smelter. Can you hear her? I wonder if you can hear it well enough.
Tell me about your children. How many did you have?
Three boys and one girl.
Okay. Tell me their names and what they are doing.
Ruth Nelson, she's the pastor's wife here.
Nelson. She's married to a pastor.
She's married to a pastor.
What church? What church?
The Assembly of God Church.
Okay.
And David, he is the youngest one. He is pastor in Slayton, Minnesota, at the present time.
What kind of a church?
Pentecostal. Assemblies of God. All of them is Pentecostal, except Charlie. He is in that Big People's Church.
That's Pentecostal too.
Says more or less all in, they're all saved. Good children we have here.
What was the other one? You just told
Kenneth.
Okay, Kenneth, what does he do? Where is he?
He is a CPA, has his own office in Billings, Montana. And he has a good business. His wife is a CPA too. And they have two adopted children.
Oh.
And their son and Ruth's son, both going to the Northwest Bible College now this year. They adopted Kennedy, he couldn't have any children either, so he adopted two, especially when they were babies. So they have a good Christian home, and I never have to buy any clothes or anything like that. You know, they give me more clothes than I can wear, you know. God's good to me. Mm-hmm.
Does Charlie have children too?
Huh?
Does Charlie have children too?
Yeah, he has one boy, so he's in Alaska. So he has Charlie. I'm not going to tell them, but you know. Yeah, a little bit unlucky in his marriage, but he's a better Christian right now than, you know, you all like Charlie. You know him yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So.
He's married again.
Yeah, yes. He had a good Christian wife. Mm-hmm. So he was acquainted with me even in his young days.
Yes. So, you were active then in what kind of church in Montana?
First in the Luther Church. I used to be a Well, let me see what I've got. I almost forget the names.
Treasure?
No, I wasn't a treasure, but I was trying to collect the dollar a month, you know, from the members. You know, all you had to be a member was to give a dollar a month there, you know, mm-hmm. You was a member.
No tithing.
No tithing. We didn't know her about tithing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, but then you changed churches? Where did you go?
Started a mission.
You started a mission? Okay, tell me about that. Why did you do that?
Because Mary's dad, Mary's grandfather was a heavy drinking man.
Yeah.
And you never would get him into a church because he always went from the streetcar and right into the salon and get drunk before he got home, you know. And that's the kind of life he was living. So my wife, she went right into the salon and got him to go down to the mission. And he gets saved in the last 10 years of his life. He was just a wonderful Christian. He had a boss job a long time before, if it was for the drinking.
Stop drinking and everything?
Drinking and smoking. And he quit all at the same time.
Mm.
You know, and he was just a wonderful Christian the rest of his life. Took a trip, him and his wife and son, took a trip to Finland and Norway, you know. So
you started this mission. Did you have a building? Did you get a building?
Started in an old saloon to clean out on our first street.
Really?
Yeah, but now we have, there's a nice church. One of the nicest churches in Anaconda.
What kind of church is it?
Assembly of God Church. Now.
Did it become Assembly of God when you were there?
It became, while I still was there, it became Assembly of God Church.
So, did you do the preaching in this
no,
place, or who did?
We had a preacher. Good preachers there all the time.
Uh-huh. But you were singing?
Oh, yeah. Singing around the three state institutions right out in the valley there, you know. There's a TB institution. And there's one of the mental, for the mental sick people. There's one institution for them right down in the state institution for the in the valley. And then a little farther down in Deer Lodge, there's a state penitentiary. And I've been singing in all those buildings.
Did your wife play for you, or did she? Did you play, or did your wife play, or what?
My wife, she plays.
Play piano?
Play piano. But she didn't. I've seen her play my guitar a lot.
Oh, you play guitar?
Yes, I did.
What else about Anaconda? What else happened there?
Shall I tell you what's happening to it now?
No, you're tearing down. You're
tearing down the whole smelter now.
Really?
Now you're tearing
down.
I have the paper with picture.
We'll see it later. Why?
Because this was cost too much to run it. It didn't pay. So they're tearing down the whole smelter. You know, there was but. There was some people working there at one time, and now there is nothing there. A lot of boarded up houses, although they're still kind of a nice place, you know. They're not all boarded up.
Did you work there at the smelter all the time when you were back east?
That's right.
When did you decide to come out here?
1923.
No, out here. Out west.
1968.
Why did you decide to do that?
Because we had three of our children up We had three of our children out here in, in Washington. So we kind of intended to go into Salt Lake at one time, you know, live down there because we got a ranch down there.
We had
uncle's place down in Salt Lake. And we intended at one time to move there, and I got old enough to get my pension and Social Security. But instead of that, we didn't like to move farther away from our children. So we moved out here to Spokane instead of...
Spokane?
Yeah. So we bought a little house in Spokane, a nice little place. So there is for the last happy years with my wife, the mother of... We had 49 happy years together.
Did she get sick there? She got sick in Spokane?
Well, she started to get old too, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I was feeling very good at that time. And I'm still going to feel good. I still intend to take a trip to the old country after all. I know I will be well after all and take a second trip. I can believe that.
Mm-hmm. So how long did you stay in Spokane?
How many years did you stay in Spokane, to Ruth?
About 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Then you moved over here. To be near Ruth?
Yeah, I've been right here, right around here. Mm-hmm. I moved from Spokane.
You didn't get married again?
Yes, I did.
Tell me about that. When was that?
Well,
after you came over here?
Yes.
Who was it?
I married a person, so she really had asthma. You know, even when I never intended to get married or anything like that. But I tried to help her. I lived here.
Where did you meet her?
Right here in Des Moines.
Right in this house?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, she was here too. Right. I met right in this house here. I sang a couple of songs on my guitars I had on the other tapes to you. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm. We'll hear it. Yeah.
I sang that song, I Fell in Love. And I remember so well. And then I sang another song about a lily was growing far out in the woods. By fir trees at summertime spent, that songs I translated from the Norwegian language. And and her sister said, I could tell that her sister, who was here at that time, she said, I think that was the songs really get hold of her sister, you know. And she was a wonderful piano player too, you know, she was a good piano player. And she used to compose songs in her younger days, compose music.
What's her name?
Lois Peel was her last name, last person she was married to. She had some unhappy marriages too. But she had a happy marriage of two years and she will live with me. You know, we had a good, had a nice time. And then she gave all of her place to Ruth and Eldred. Oh. Three houses.
Here in Des Moines?
Here in Des Moines, yeah. The house I'm living in now, down there. So Charlie's fixing up a bathroom. Mm-hmm. She gave all those three houses to Eldred, you know.
Well, did she know them before you knew them or something?
Oh, yeah. She was a member of the church.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Of the church here anymore. I kind of look for a place to live close to the church. That's how it happened. You know, so I could walk up the church, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's how I really started to get acquainted with her.
You've been back to Norway some more?
After she died, I thought that was before we got married to her, but then we went back to Norway, wasn't it?
Your daughter and you?
Huh?
Your daughter and you went back?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's right.
That's when you saw all these changes and how that island has grown, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There's a big aluminum plant, too, on that island.
Is there?
So my son is one of the main ones, you know, says in the...
One of your son's sons?
Yeah.
My brother's son.
Brother's son, yeah.
Okay.
My brother's son, yeah.
What's his name?
He's the... A brother's son. His name is John. Same as me.
John what? Son. Idy?
No.
Son-in-law.
Huh?
What's the son-in-law?
Andreas.
Andreas. But didn't you and your wife ever go back to Norway?
No.
Neither wives?
No, neither one. We were kind of poor in those years. So my wife, she didn't want to spend the money to go. I wish she had come along. I've been over there 4 times myself.
You went, even after you were married, you went by yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't like to go. She thought about the children.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't like to spend the money. It was one of the reasons. But she was willing to have me to go in, yeah.
You haven't been active in any Norwegian organizations, have you?
No, only in the church a little bit.
Church, mm-hmm.
I didn't even belong to some of Norway. I shouldn't have that on it.
Do you have any other stories to tell me?
Huh?
But anything happened to you? Have any stories to tell me?
I'm all out of telling you now. I'm tired.
Are you going to talk some Norwegian first?
Huh?
Because it's not going to be Norse first?
He can
say a prayer in
sing a Norwegian song.
Oh, can you?
One of my songs is I Fell in Love. And I also have that song in Norwegian. I would sing one verse in English. I fell in love once when least expected. My Jesus met me up on life's sea. My heart was sick and by sin affected. I needed someone to set me free. I fell in love with the Christ from heaven, my lovely Jesus, my Lord above. The mightier Savior, my heart was given. I could not help it. I fell in love. I fell in love with a friend so faithful, a friend so truthful, a friend indeed. This friend is Jesus. I am so grateful. A friend like him is a friend I need. I fell in love with the Christ from heaven, my lovely Jesus, my Lord above, the mightier Savior, my heart is given. I could not help it, I fell in love. I fell in love once with heaven's beauty, the heir of glory, God's only Son. How can you wonder? I feel my duty in telling others my heart he won. I am in love with the Christ from heaven, my lovely Jesus, my Lord above, the mightier Savior, my heart is given. I cannot help it. I am in love
I am in love.
Jeg ble forelsket så helt uventet. Jeg møtte Jesus på livets hav. I synd jeg vandret, han meg innhentet. Mitt liv forandret og fred meg gav. Jeg forelsket, så helt forelsket. Jeg følte Jesus så ganske nær. Jeg forelsket, så helt forelsket. I himmelens Jesus, min Herre kjær. Jeg ble forelsket den første gangen, da Jesus kalte meg hjem til seg. Først da jeg lærte den nye sangen, jeg elsket ham som først elsket meg. Jeg forelsket, så helt forelsket, i himmelens Jesus, min Herre kjær. Praise the Lord.
He wrote. You from Juanita. She's told us about your Christian life and the good that you've done in the area there where you live, and I wish that we could know you, because we love to know Christian friends and new people, and we love Juanita, so we know we'd love you.
Mother, one of the songs that John's going to sing for you too, he wrote, I Fell in Love. I don't know just which time he's going to be singing it, but it's really beautiful. And then he's from Norway, right, Lois?
Yes.
And some of the songs he's translated into English and things, and so I hope you enjoy them too.
Jesus. Jesus, I love you, I love you, I do. Jesus, Jesus, I love you, I love you, I do. You loved me on Calvary. Your love is precious to me, Jesus, Jesus, I love you, I love you, I do. Who go astray.
I fell in love with the Christ from heaven, my lovely Jesus, my Lord above, the mightiest Savior my heart has given. I could not help it, I fell in love. I fell in love with the friends so faithful, a friend so truthful, a friend indeed. This friend is Jesus. I am so grateful. A friend like him is the friend I need. I fell in love with the Christ from heaven, my lovely Jesus, my Lord above, the mightiest Savior my heart has given. I could not help it, I fell in love. I fell in love once with heaven's beauty, the air of glory, God's only Son. How can you wonder? I feel my duty in telling others my hearty one. I am in love with the Christ from heaven, my lovely Jesus, my Lord above, the mightiest Savior my heart has given. I cannot help it, I am in love, I am in love.
The name of this song is The Lily. A lily was growing far out in the woods, by fir trees at summertime spent, surrounded by heather and moss there it stood, so beautiful, pure and content. Say, do you not fear to be hidden away, surrounded by shadows and trees? I've never forgotten why people of May, I know that each flower God sees. Then would you not wish in the garden you stood, where all could your beauty adorn? In humble surroundings I always feel good, the bloom in the woods I was born. But soon you must die, soon the winter storms blow, thou lily which flowers now bring. I then shall be covered by beautiful snow, and wait in the sunshine at spring. I then shall be covered by beautiful snow, and wait in the sunshine at spring. For the lesson I thank you, thou lily so fair, so lonely you often may be. My blessed Creator does constantly care, he guards and he satisfies me. My blessed Creator does constantly care, he guards and he satisfies me. happy and walk in the light. Each morning my prayers to heaven ascend. I'm sleeping in Jesus each night. A robe I received when I entered God's home, through the blood that is shining and white. It is made for this city with streets of pure gold, where Jesus himself is the light. It is made for this city with streets of pure gold, where Jesus himself is the light. Just like the sweet lily, I also must die. God's word is so plainly clear. When snow shall be covering the dust by and by, the spirit is safe in God's care. When snow shall be covering the dust by and by, the spirit is safe in God's care. I translated this song from the Swedish language.
Lois always played piano professionally most all her life, and now she and John are going to play together.
Thank you.
I'll be somewhere.